From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming voanews.id. Listener, here's the English service from Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. I am Stefan as well, will be here with you for the next 60 minutes with a lot of information and also good music coming from Indonesia. Well then, we would like to begin with the news. Stay tuned with us and with the Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Here is the news, first the headlines. Presidential Advisory Council reports consolidation outcomes to President Joko Widodo. Australian Ambassador to Indonesia Gary Quinlan stresses on the importance of the relationship between Indonesia and Australia. Now the news in details. Chairman of the Presidential Advisory Council Wiranto reported that result of the internal consolidation of the Presidential Advisory Council to President Joko Widodo at the State Palace in Jakarta on Wednesday. According to the chairman, the consolidation was carried out to understand the duties and functions of the Presidential Advisory Council in supporting the development of policies and programs.
Nah, kami memang melaporkan selama satu bulan, satu minggu itu apa yang kami lakukan.
We report for 1 month or 1 week what we did. Certainly, an organization, especially the Presidential Advisory Council, has duty to give advice and considerations to the President. Those we certainly consolidate the organizations first. We need to know where we stand in consolidation of national organizations. Afterwards, we also try to understand what our main tasks are, what our role is, and what is called the advice and considerations for the President. Clearly, we do not want our advice and considerations to the President to be duplicated, overlapping with other instruments owned by the President, like ministries, institutions, TNI headquarters, the State Intelligence Agency, and also the expert staff. In regards to the duties and functions of the Presidential Advisory Council, Wiranto pointed out that the Presidential Advisory Board has an obligation to give consideration to the President regarding strategic and technical policies. He also mentioned that one of the tasks of the Presidential Advisory Council is to give consideration to the President regarding bureaucratic obstacles found in the field so that the President policies could be implemented to the lowest level. According to him, the Presidential Advisory Council provide its input to the President in a bid to support the President's policy. So Indonesia can make a leap of progress, especially in the current era of technological progress. Despite having the authority to give consideration and input to the President, Wiranto ensured that he would not interfere in the affairs of the President's aides at the technical level. The Australian Embassy in Jakarta hosted the new Colombo Plan receptions on Wednesday to welcome the recipients of the NCP grant to Indonesia and offer a chance for Australian students to interact and network with their Indonesian mentors. Speaking at the event, Australian Ambassador to Indonesia, Gary Quinlan, said that Australian Embassy in Indonesia was their largest embassy in the world, and it stems from the fact that Indonesia and Australia are good neighbors. He believes that despite a few political hiccups here and there, the relationship between Australia and Indonesia has never been better.
And the only way to make an ecosystem safe, when we both live in the same ecosystem, Australia and Indonesia, is to make sure we're good neighbors. And that's what we're both very, very, very strongly committed to doing. As countries, even though Indonesia is so vastly bigger than we are, you need close, like-minded partners who you've got a lot of experience with and who you've learned to trust.
The new Colombo Plan is an initiative of the Australian government that seeks to support Australian undergraduate students to study or to undertake internship to aid in increasing their knowledge of Indo-Pacific region. The new Colombo Plan offers scholarship to Australian students to undertake short-term or long-term study for up to 1 year or involve themselves in internship, practicums, research or mentorships. Ambassador Quinlan acknowledged that education was a key element in transforming the relationship between Australia and Indonesia and thanked the NCP for enabling Australian students to live and study in Indonesia. Coordinating Minister for Economic Affairs Erlangga Hartarto called for the industrial sector to be involved in developing Indonesia's human resources capacity at the annual meeting of the World Economic Forum 2020 in Davos, Switzerland. In a statement received by Antara News Agency in Jakarta on Wednesday, he said that the development of human resources, especially reforming the education system, is very important because this is one of the 5 priorities of President Joko Widodo's administration. Minister Erlangga also mentioned that one of the main challenges in developing human resources is improving the skills of teachers. Thus, the government of Indonesia is currently conducting training for around 2 million teaching staff. This news comes to you from Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Development of industrial estates in Central Java Province, especially in the regions of Batang and Brebes, is being accelerated. This is aimed to achieve a 7% economic growth target. As quoted by Antara News Agency, Governor of Central Java Ganjar Pranowo stated in Semarang on Wednesday that the development of industrial estates in the two regions begins this year, because at present, Central Java is the backbone of national economic growth. Central Java already has a role model for industrial development, such as the Kendal Industrial Estate. Governor Ganjar also stated that Kendal Industrial Estate can be a good example for other industrial areas, industrial management and licensing. Regent of Trenggalek Muhammad Nur Arifin introduced some of the economic potentials of the Trenggalek Regency to the Council General of Japan, Tani Masaki. The main potentials that were introduced are fishery, tourism, and supporting infrastructure. As reported by Antara News Agency, the fishery potential in Trenggalek Regency is supported by Prigi Bay, which is able to protect the sea area on the south side of Trenggalek, so that the waves are friendly enough for tourists and sea shipping. Japanese Consul General Tani Masaki, during a visit to Trenggalek East Java on Wednesday, stated that his visit was the first one to Trenggalek. He viewed Trenggalek have a lot of potentials in the field of fishery and agriculture. His site will disseminate this information to several Japanese companies. Governor of West Java, Ridwan Kamil, received a visit from the Extraordinary and Plenipotentiary Ambassador of the Republic of Azerbaijan to Indonesia, Jalal Mirzayev, in Bandung City on Wednesday. As quoted by Antara News Agency, the arrival of Ambassador Jalal Mirzayev aims to open cooperation with the government of West Java Province, particularly in the field of tourism, while enhancing cooperation that has previously been carried out with universities in West Java. Governor Ridwan Kamil also said that his side accepts anyone who wants to invest in West Java. On the occasion, he submitted an investment register book as a reference for Azerbaijan to get to know the investment potentials in West Java. Governor Ridwan also invited the government of Azerbaijan to attend the West Java Tourism Summit next April. U.S. President Donald Trump and Iraqi President Barham Salih met in Davos, Switzerland on Wednesday. According to the Iraqi presidential's office, talks took place after Washington in early January rejected Iraq's request to withdraw its troops from the country. The decline in the number of foreign troops and the interest of respecting the demands of the Iraqi people to safeguard the country's sovereignty were discussed during the meeting. On January 5th, the Iraqi parliament passed on a non-binding resolution which contained a request to the U.S. government to end the presence of foreign troops in Iraq. The request was made after an American airstrike killed Iranian General Qasem Soleimani and the Iraqi militia commander Abu Mahdi al-Muhandis. That was the news. I'm Nuka Kusumawati.
Listener, here's today's commentary entitled, Should OJK Be Dissolved? The Financial Services Authority, which is called OJK, was established in 2011 through the Law Number 21, year 2011. The OJK, as an independent financial institution, is present to replace the role of the Capital Market and Financial Institution Supervisory Agency, or BAPEPAM-LK. With the establishment of OJK, the regulation and supervision of the capital market and non-bank financial industry automatically switches to OJK. The presence of OJK is expected by the people of Indonesia to be able to oversee the financial and banking sector in Indonesia. Unfortunately, this hope has lately been tarnished after PT Asuransi Jiwasraya fails to pay its customers. As a result of this problem, discourse arises whether the Financial Services Authority is still needed to oversee various financial institutions. The discourse about the dissolution of OJK emerged from the parliament. Deputy Speaker of Indonesian House of Representatives, Sufmi Dasko Ahmad, acknowledged that OJK discourse was dissolved. The OJK's duty and authority are returned to Bank Indonesia. OJK, which has the authority to oversee the banks, capital market, and non-bank financial institutions, such as insurance companies, is deemed to have failed to carry out its supervisory duties. This is proven where PT Asuransi Jiwasraya fails to pay its customers. The question arises whether OJK needs to be dissolved. Other countries also have supervisory institutions such as OJK. Some financial supervision institutions that have been operating successfully until now are like BaFin in Germany and the Japan Financial Services Agency, or JFSA, obviously in Japan. However, some were disbanded after failing to carry out their supervisory duties. For example, the Financial Services Authority, or FSA, in United Kingdom. Seeing the experience of other countries such as Britain, the disclosure to dissolve the OJK is possible to be a reality. Even though there is a possibility of dissolving, it is expected that OJK will not be dissolved. There are two main reasons why OJK is expected not to be dissolved. The first is that OJK has been existing for 8 years. For these 8 years, OJK has achieved some achievements. So far, the regulations and supervision conducted by OJK in the banking sector has been quite adequate. There are weaknesses in the non-bank financial industry, as recognized by Chairman of OJK Board of Commissioner Wimbo Santoso during a working meeting with the House of Representatives at the Parliament Complex in Jakarta. The OJK has admitted that it is carrying out reforms in the non-bank financial industry. The reforms in the non-bank financial industry have been carried out by OJK since 2018. Now, with the problem of PT Asuransi Jiwasraya's failure to pay, the reform efforts in the non-bank financial industry need to be accelerated. The second reason is that the development of the financial industry in Indonesia is quite rapid and complex. Thus, the presence of an institution such as OJK is indispensable. The rapid development of the financial industry. Therefore, OJK must carry out its main duties and functions to oversee various financial institutions independently and objectively so that in the future, there will be no more defaults or fictitious financial institutions in this beloved country, Indonesia. Well, listener, that was the commentary today.
Our regular program today in history starts from an event on January 23, 1942, on proclamation of Gorontalo independence. The independence of Indonesia in Gorontalo was proclaimed 3 years before Indonesia's proclamation of independence was read in Jakarta, August 17, 1945. On January 23, 1942, an independence fighter of Gorontalo, Nani Wartabone, read the proclamation of Indonesian nation in Gorontalo, North Sulawesi. At the time, Gorontalo people had been free to hoist the Indonesia's flag, the white and red, after gaining the independence from the Netherlands along with all young figures in Gorontalo. Gorontalo was committed to joining with the unitary state of the Republic of Indonesia and did not choose to establish its own country. next event is that in 1950, APRA coup d'etat, or January 23rd coup d'etat, took place. Coup d'etat occurred on January 23, 1950, when militia group of Angkatan Perang Ratu Adil, or APRA, led by former captain of the Dutch force, Raymond Westerling, who was also former commander of Depot Speciale Tropen, entered into Bandung and killed all people in Indonesian military uniforms who were met by them. The action of the group was planned by Westerling several months before, and it was known by the highest rank of the Dutch military. As a result, hundreds of Indonesian soldiers were killed, and from Westerling's side, there was no casualty. The last event is that in 1950, Knesset announced Jerusalem as the capital city of Israel. On January 23, 1950, Israeli parliamentary Knesset announced Jerusalem as the capital city of Israel. The announcement was only 2 years after the establishment of the State of Israel. The announcement directly got strong reaction from Arabic states and Muslims, due to Jerusalem is one of holy cities of Muslims. As a result of widespread oppositions, efforts of Israel to be recognized by the world state related to removal of the capital city from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem was not welcome as expected. The world countries were unwilling to move their embassies from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem. Until now, the capital city of Israel is still in Tel Aviv. That was Today in History. I'm Nuka Kusumawati.
Apakah kamu masih ingin sendiri? aku takkan berhenti mencari kepingan hati yang pergi. Apakah kamu masih sendiri meski menanti jawabmu, ku kan tetap di sini.
Thank you very much. You are still with us in the Voice of Indonesia. Next, My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Today's My Indonesia is titled Modern Nursery Development Support Labuan Bajo Tourism. While accompanying the Indonesian President Joko Widodo during his visit to Labuan Bajo in East Nusa Tenggara Province, the Minister of Environment and Forestry, Siti Nurbaya, had the opportunity to visit the village seedling gardens and the prospective nursery locations in Labuan Bajo, West Manggarai, East Nusa Tenggara, on Sunday, January 19. Minister Siti Nurbaya said that the Labuan Bajo village seedling garden was one of the results of the 1,000 village nursery program being carried out by the ministry throughout Indonesia. On the same occasion, Minister Siti Nurbaya also conducted a survey of prospective modern nursery sites in Labuan Bajo. The area of the modern nursery is around 30 hectares and is located in Satar Kodi village, Gorang, Komodo sub-district, West Manggarai Regency. A number of endemic plants will be grown in this modern nursery, and it is estimated that each year it can produce 1 million seedlings. The development of the modern nursery of Labuan Bajo is an effort to overcome the condition of critical and unproductive land which is still vastly present in the province of East Nusa Tenggara, including Labuan Bajo tourism area. With the availability of plant seedlings in modern nurseries, it will support planting effort to create a green and beautiful environment, clean and fresh air, productive land and shady and comfortable microclimate, thereby creating a positive image and increasing tourists to coming to the region. The village seedlings garden is also aimed at guaranteeing quality seeds in large quantities quickly and sustainably in the context of planting. The modern nursery of Labuan Bajo is planned to be integrated with seed sources, arboretum, urban forest, and parks as eco-edu forest. This nursery development is also meant to aid in Labuan Bajo as one of the 5 super priority tourism destinations. The Indonesian government is currently developing super priority tourism destinations in Lake Toba in North Sumatra, Borobudur in Central Java, Mandalika in West Nusa Tenggara, Likupang in North Sulawesi, and Labuan Bajo in East Nusa Tenggara. That was My Indonesia.
From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program.
Thank you. pesan cintamu agar dia kembali padamu tanpa peduli sakitnya aku.
More information about Indonesia is coming up. Next, we will present to you the Indonesian Wonder. Stay tuned with us in the Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Welcome back to Indonesian Wonder. Today, I will introduce you to Katra Beach in Malang, East Java. Malang is one of the leading tourism destinations in East Java. Nestled in the south of Java, the city has beach tourism sites extending all the way from the west to the east. Out of the many beautiful beaches that can be visited, today we are going to talk about Gatra Beach. The beach is very interesting to visit because it is surrounded by forest, hills, and also coral islands. Gatra Beach is located at Tambakrejo Village, Sumber Mancing Wetan, Malang Regency, in East Java Province. It stretches for 73 kilometers and takes around 2 until 3 hours from Malang to Gatra Beach. Gatra Beach prioritizes natural conservation and cleanliness. That's why, when entering the beach, you not only buy entrance tickets, but also have your bags checked by officers. The officers select the items which have the potential to produce waste. Likewise, at the exit gate, if it is found that you have violated the rules, you will be fined 10,000 rupiah. The entrance ticket to Gatra Beach is 10,000 rupiah per person, while for parking it is only 3,000 for motorcycle and 4,000 rupiah for four-wheeled vehicles. From the entry point to the beach, you have trek for about 1 to 1.5 kilometer. And along the trip, you can enjoy the sights of the mangrove conservation forest. Gatra Beach boasts white and soft sand, rocks at the middle of the sea which form small islands, calm seawater and clean beach. On the beach, you can not only play in the water or on the sand, but you can also rent a canoe to go around the beach. For those who want to go camping, the managers provide tents which can be rented for 25,000 rupiah per unit. Moreover, Gatra Beach also offers many spots for taking the perfect selfie, so do not miss out. On the beach area, there are no shops or stores. This is to keep its commitment to cleanliness and sustainability of the beach. That was our segment of Indonesian Wonder featuring Gatra Beach in East Java.
Kerinduan yang masih terpendam perih, dia buat hatiku sakit lagi. Karena pergi dan tak kembali, meninggalkan sejuta kerinduan.
Next, you will be listening to interesting information related to Indonesia. Next one, miscellany.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listeners, welcome back in our regular segment, Miscellany. In today's edition, we present you information on Solo Imlek Festival 2020. To celebrate Lunar New Year 2020, Regional Government of Solo prepares some events in Solo Imlek Festival 2020-2571. There are 7 interesting events to be held from January 18 until February 28, 2020. Solo Imlek Festival was opened by Mayor of Solo at Gede Market that become central location on January 15, starting from January 18 until 28, 2020. The beauty of lanterns of 12 zodiac signs, neon boxes of 12 zodiac signs, lanterns of red zodiac and fortune god lantern can be enjoyed at surrounding market on Jalan Jenderal Sudirman and Jalan Urip Sumoharjo. There is also Imlek portal in the area. Journalistic and photographs competition become one of the events on Solo Imlek Festival. The competition has been held starting from January 10 until February 10. People can send their writings and photos to the committee of the event. At the event, a lot of people and tourists participated in Imlek Blood Donation Day, which is conducted at Indonesian Red Cross Office in Surakarta on Jalan Kolonel Sutarto number 58, Jebres District. There is also Solo Imlek Fair at PMS Surakarta Building, which sells traditional foods and handicraft. The event also shows barongsai, fortune teller, and sufa or Chinese script calligraphy. There is also Grebek Sudiro event, which is the most waited event by people. Grebek Sudiro reflects Chinese and Indonesian culture. At the event, there is steak of various cakes, which contain of kue keranjang, cakwe, and bakpao. Barongsai and liong parrots will be held on February 8, 2020. In the evening, thus the event will be ended by Lunar New Year celebration by the regional government of Surakarta at Pendapi Gede in Solo on February 8. That was our segment for today, Miss Lenny. Thanks for listening.
Do-do-do-do-do Re-re-re-re-re-re
Mi
Mi-mi-mi-mi-hi-hi
Fa
Fa-fa-fa-fa-fa-fa Doakan ku harus pergi Relakan aku di sini Misalnya aku kan pulang Pastikan kau tetap menunggu Soal cinta luar biasa Lama-lama bisa gila Siapa yang tahu pasti Doakan aku di sini
du-du-du-du. Aku percaya kali ini kau pasti bisa, yeah. Ku tanya, ada yang salah? Jelas ini luar biasa. Hal yang baik tidak mudah, tak seperti kau bicara. Mereka mengerti ini terlalu jadi masalah. Ketika kau mulai bisa terbiasa untuk dapat menikmati hari-hari tanpa ku di sini. Doakan ku harus pergi, relakan aku di sini. Misalnya aku kan pulang, pastikan kau tetap menunggu. Soal cinta luar biasa, lama-lama bisa gila. Siapa yang tahu pasti, doakan aku di sini. Hal yang baik tidak mudah, tak seperti kau bicara. Mereka mengerti ini terlalu jadi masalah. Ketika kau mulai bisa terbiasa untuk dapat menikmati hari-hari tanpa ku di sini. Doakan ku harus pergi, relakan aku di sini. Misalnya aku kan pulang, pastikan kau tetap menunggu. Soal cinta luar biasa, lama-lama bisa gila. Siapa yang tahu pasti, doakan aku di sini. Ah 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 ah. Doakan ku harus pergi, relakan aku di sini. Misalnya aku kan pulang, pastikan kau tetap menunggu. Soal cinta luar biasa, lama-lama bisa gila. Siapa yang tahu pasti, doakan aku di sini. Doakan ku harus pergi, relakan aku di sini. Misalnya aku kan pulang, pastikan kau yang menunggu. Soal cinta luar biasa, lama-lama bisa gila. Siapa yang tahu pasti, doakan aku di sini. Terima kasih.
You are still with us in the Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world. Next, we will have a song and also some information about it. The next one will be the Mr. Corner.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener of Voice of Indonesia, welcome back to Music Corner. Today we will present a song entitled Being to You by Grace Simon. Grace Simon is an Indonesian singer who was popular in the 1970s. Besides singing, Grace Simon played as the main character in the film Lagu Untukmu with Bruri Pesolima. She also often participated in ASEAN Pop Song Contest. The most popular song of Grace Simon, entitled Bing, created by one of legendary singers in Indonesia, Titiek Puspa. The song was created shortly after the death of artist Bing Slamet in 1975. Listener, let's listen to the song Bing, sung by Grace Simon. Enjoy the song.
Thank you. tiba redup langit gelap, hati yang bahagia terhentak seketika. Malapetaka seakan menyelinap, berita menggelegar aku terima. Kasih berpulang untuk selamanya. Hancur luluh rasa jiwa dan raga. Tak percaya tapi nyata. Ku bersimpuh di sisi jasad membeku.
Voice of Indonesia.
Kini tiada lagi kasih.
Voice of Indonesia.
It's been almost 1 hour. We are accompanying you with a lot of information and also good music from Indonesia. Send what you think about it. You can send it to our email, voi@voanews.id, and also our Facebook fan page, The Voice of Indonesia. Well then, listener, I'm Stefan as well, signing out, but stay tuned because we got more information from Indonesia. Well then, stay tuned with us in The Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.